David Naylor. It's great to see everyone this morning. I see some familiar faces, some people I know, a lot of you I don't. So thanks so much for inviting me here to speak, to talk to you about witness. That's what I'm going to be talking to you today about. And I also want to share a lot about my life. I'm a music student at BU, and I get to talk to music students all day long. Super fun. We're very weird. We're a very weird bunch of people, which is always a wild time. And we have an incredible community in the music school at BU, probably because we're so weird and no one else will talk to us. But it's still wonderful to be around these incredible people. And one of the great things that I get to talk to people about is about Jesus. It's amazing how much that comes up. People have real questions about real things in their life. And it's been so beautiful sharing life with these people and also watching so many people over the last couple of years come to Jesus, come to relationship with Jesus for the first time, which is so, so incredible, so beautiful. And I could have never predicted that. I want to share with you, based on this topic of witness, some of what my friends have said about Christianity. These are people who grow up outside the church, didn't know Jesus really, but they kind of saw Christianity from a distance. So my one friend, she said, "My upbringing taught me to be against Christianity, and I still don't like it, but I can't help but listen to people who I admire, tell me about their experience with God. They're sane and even good people. How could they be crazy?" Someone else said, "Religion is a waste of time, but I like the way that Christianity contrasts with the world and with our culture. I don't like the things that are going on. People are generally idiots, but Jesus seems to be pretty cool." Another guy said, "I found this underground network of people, and what they have in common, Jesus. I liked what they were doing. Here we were, all these amazing people that I looked up to, and I had no idea they were connected by this thing." Another person started joining our community. I'm from the Gate church community. That's where I normally go to church. So he started joining our community. He said, "I finally found a community and a place, a belonging, where I could really be myself, where I could ask questions that I was afraid to ask earlier." And another friend of mine said, "Religion is interesting to me because I want to know why people believe what they believe." So he studies religion in school. Christianity is extremely problematic to me and often destructive when I study it. However, I like the Jesus-following version of Christianity that my friends follow. It's still intellectually lazy, but it's a lot cooler than what I'm studying. And I like hanging around these Jesus followers. So all these people, except for that last guy, have become Christians in the last while. And it's been super cool. So what do they all have in common? These people are fascinated by the way people are living. These people are living radically different from anything else they see. And they're like, "There's something different there, and I like it. It's weird, but I like it." This is the effect witness has on people. Witness is about seeing the weirdness of Jesus in the way that people live. The story of their life points to Jesus. There is massive need in our world. Poverty is rampant, and it's not just financial poverty. We don't see quite as much of that in our society, but we see a poverty, a purpose, community, hope, joy, family, friendship, peace. And it manifests itself in things like addictions, isolation, apathy, selfish living, hopelessness, mental illness, and for some people, suicide. People need the light of Jesus shining into their lives. People need the peace, the hope, the love of Jesus that is so transformative, that is so powerful, so incredible. We need to be the people sharing that message. Be the evangelist to these people who don't have that hope that we have, who don't have that peace that we have, that joy. And be agents of transformation that permeate the trash in this world. Jesus is on a radical mission to change the world, and we get to be part of it. we get to be even transformed in the process, because God's plan is to change this world, starting with our hearts. We can do something about this. We just have to let God change our lives and live in this weird way of Jesus. So, what does this look like? Well, I'll just share a little bit what this looked like for me a few years back. So I spent a year working in a coffee shop in BU, and it was really bad. It was awful. I went to work every day, and just this negativity hit me like a train every day, from the students, from the staff, from, you know, the people I work with. It was nuts, because it is just like such a dark place. People are overwhelmed with their course load. People like don't know how to manage their life, so they're just in this darkness, and you know, that cup of coffee is just their only way of getting through the day. So it was a great opportunity, actually, for me. I had a chance to speak life into people's day. I had a chance to bring light, bring hope, bring joy, have real conversations with people about what's going on when everyone else was too busy to. So it was a beautiful opportunity, and I was only able to do that through asking that question: okay, I'm in this situation. How will Jesus shine his light in this situation? And I had to rely on him a lot. And I don't know what the result of that was. I know that I did have a lot of meaningful conversations with people, sometimes even about Jesus. But I know that I stood out there because, not because of me, but because of who Jesus is and how he was working in my life. And it prompted me to assess BU and assess the darkness there and see what I could do there. So I became a student. That's why I'm at BU, is because I know the light of Jesus is powerful and it can do incredible things in that space. So today we're talking about witness. We're talking about sharing the gospel, the beauty of Jesus through what we do. Witness. So what is witness? Witness is about attesting to something, a truth, something that we know. So we're doing that with our lives as followers of Jesus. We're standing in front of the judge, which is the world in this case, and we're saying with the way that we live that Jesus is powerful, that Jesus is alive and inside of us, and that we are living him out. We need to live in this weird way of Jesus for people to really know him. Let's take a look at a scripture passage here. I'll just bring it up. Oh, yeah. There we go. So, 1 John 2, 3 to 6. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Okay, so let's check out the context of this a little bit. So first, you notice this relationship between obedience and relationship with God within this passage. I'm actually going to even just back it up there and bring up that scripture passage again. So you see this beautiful connection. Like this, we have to be obedient to know him, and we have to know him to be obedient. You can't have one without the other. I'll just go through it again. So we know we have come to know him if we obey his commands. So we know him if we obey. And the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if we don't obey, then do we really know him? I guess not. But if anyone obeys his words, God's love is truly made complete in him. So God's love comes inside of us. So he is with us. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So there's this beautiful relationship between obedience and relationship with God. Next thing I want to point out is a little bit of the background here. So John is writing to a group of Jews living in Turkey at this time, modern-day Turkey, which was an area saturated in Greek culture. But there were these Jews just randomly there, and they had gotten to know Jesus. They had gotten to know God incarnate. But, they had gotten to know God incarnate, but they grew up with an understanding of that covenantal relationship with God, that obedience and relationship are the same thing. That was so ingrained in their culture, but something happened. They got kicked out of the synagogue because they were following Jesus. You know, this is a heresy, you can't do this. And they're like, no, we finally know God for real through Jesus. But they were kicked out. The society that they grew up in, they were no longer part of. They were no longer saturated in that God space, the synagogue. So where were they? They were in Greek culture now. They were cut off from the synagogue. They're now in the world. So John is reminding them of what they learned, reminding them that obedience and relationship with God are intertwined, because all these heresies had started to creep in. And we're going to call that the heresy of compromise. That's what they were tempted by. Greek philosophy is very, you know, not very practical, very theoretical, intellectual. It lives inside of you. There's a disconnect between the body and the spirit or the mind. And that's not the way of Jesus. They're one. So they were tempted to, through some of these heresies like Gnosticism, might have heard of that one before, stop living out their faith and just have an internal faith, something that was not practical, something that was not lived out, something that was not radical in their society, but actually looked the same as Greek culture. So we in our culture are tempted to do the same thing. This is happening now, and it has always been happening. Jesus' way is so radically different, but we're tempted to just do the same thing that people have always done. So let's talk about that a little bit for a second. So what does this heresy of compromise do? It's about values. The values that we pursue in our lives are not always the way of Jesus. So let's look at some of them that are predominant in our society. So self-indulgence, that one's obvious. Jesus calls us to selflessness. Consumerism, you know, that our standard of living is the most important thing to us, that we can't compromise that, and we need to pursue the highest standard of living that we can. Apathy, seeing problems in the world, being aware of them, but not actually doing anything about it. That's not the way of Jesus. Success. That's super predominant in our society. Security. Is that just living out of fear? Making sure that we are secure in the ways of the world rather than being secure in God? And finally, this one is a little controversial, and I'm going to explain a little bit. Family is obviously super important, but the family of God is so much bigger. If we just stick to a little family unit, there's so many people outside of that who have so many needs, but society is saying, no. If you're taking care of your family, you're doing everything. That's the limit. That's the end. So these are ways that compromise can sneak in. So let's get back to witness. So what does witness do when we start to live in this radical, controversial, weird way of Jesus? Well, three things start to happen. First, it changes you. We're changed from the inside out. And secondly, it changes the world. And thirdly, it provokes questions. And that's the part that I'm super interested in. Because people start to look at you as like, this is not normal. This doesn't look like the rest of our culture. Because we're living in this weird way, and they want to know about it because there's nothing else like it. So, what does living weird look like? I'll give some examples that I just thought of that is different from our culture. So taking care of orphans, something like foster care, that's not something that is common, but something that we're called to do as followers of Jesus. Visiting the elderly. I've been learning, starting to play at retirement homes, that these are some of the loneliest and most isolated people in our society. It's crazy, because the rest of society just shoves them into a corner. Stepping outside of your social circle, something like sharing a meal with the homeless, downsizing your home to give money to something else, that's crazy. Nobody does that. Taking a vacation that instead of just for yourself is actually based around helping others. Nobody does these things. So when these things start to happen, people ask questions. And there's like millions more examples, but these are just some ones that I thought of. So how do we go about living this witness? Well, I'm proposing a few things today. So first, we have to understand and know Jesus. Secondly, we have to become aware of the contrast between Jesus and our world so we don't get sucked into just living the way everyone else is, because that's honestly boring. And thirdly, start to ask the question of, how do I live out the way of Jesus? So I'm not going to dig too much into that first point, because there's four great books called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are filled with great content about that. But I do want to touch on a couple things just to get our head in that space of what does it look like to live with these radically different values. So what I did is I took the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, and I paraphrase them for myself. This is helpful for me. It might be helpful for you. It might not be. But this is what I've come up with. So, humility. What's humility about? That is a radical value in our world. It's not thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. It's recognizing that we're broken people and we need God's help. Repentance, turning from our lives of selfishness and towards Jesus' way of selflessness. Meekness, using our resources and power for the benefit of others. Initiative, making things right when we know that they're not. Mercy, we don't get to decide who deserves love and who doesn't. Peace, spreading peace rather than divisiveness. And finally, perseverance, pushing to live out these values when we face adversity, because there will always be challenges to this kind of living. So this is just a snapshot of Jesus' way. Obviously, there's way more to it. But I want to get on to the second step there. So becoming aware of this contrast. The world, I'm going to say, is boring, and Jesus' way stands out a lot. And sometimes we in the Western world get seduced into that ordinary way of living because it's safe, it's secure. We know what the outcome is going to be. It's hard to be aware of how affected we are by this heresy of compromise, because the Western Church actually has a long history of accepting this heresy of compromise. I'm going to get into that in a second. However, now that Christianity is diverging from mainstream culture, it's really exciting because it's easier to identify Jesus. Because we're separated from the source of power, it's easier to see how Jesus is different. And I understand this is a weird way of speaking, but the word Christianity, it means 10 different things to 10 different people. And I've discovered that because most of my friends now are not in the church. When I say the word Christianity, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to talk about that. Talking about Jesus is really easy. Talking about Christianity is actually quite hard with those people because there's so much baggage attached to it. So I'm going to unpack that word Christianity a minute when I talk about the history. And also want to talk about the institution of the church that's attached to that, which has a tendency sometimes of accepting the heresy of compromise. But there's so many people along the way who have said, no, I'm going to choose the way of Jesus. I'm going to choose this weird, wild, really radical way of Jesus. So this is my version of church history in 5 minutes or less. So this is not by any means a fair summary. This is just trying to get at that idea of, yes, we have fallen into the heresy of compromise. So this is Dave's history of Christianity. And again, this is just like Western history. There's a lot of ways of telling this story. So first we have Jesus. Jesus was awesome. He did lots of really cool stuff. And he was God. And then after Jesus left, his apostles were like, what do we do now? Let's start some Jesus communities. Yeah, now what? So they started doing that, and it started spreading like crazy, and they were heavily persecuted because it was weird. People didn't understand what was going on. There's these people who are feeding other people's poor, not just taking care of their own. There's people who are like eating their God's body. That's weird. Communion, that's what I'm talking about. It was super weird in their empire, and people didn't know what to do with Christians. But by the 4th century, historians estimate that a quarter of the Roman Empire was now following Jesus, was part of this Christianity group. So, then we have this guy named Constantine, and he decided, I'm going to actually legalize Christianity and use it to my advantage. So he made this hybrid between Roman values and Christian values and made this new state religion and actually became the implemented religion in his empire. He used it, seeing that the way of Jesus actually was really powerful, and used it as a means of controlling his empire. But it didn't actually work out very well. So within about 100 years after that, the Roman Empire declined super fast because it wasn't Christian, and it wasn't even Roman anymore. It was just confusing, and it stopped working because it wasn't following Jesus anymore. It was following this new hybrid child of these two things. So then later, the Roman Empire fell, and actually the only thing that really kept people together was the church that existed throughout all this time. It was a place of stability. But the church, you know, through loss of literacy and all these other things, had lost the way of Jesus. And so, after a while, people came to power. And this guy, Charlemagne, came to power. And he had control over a lot of Europe. He said, I need to bring unification. What am I going to use? Oh, I'm going to use this Christianity thing. It seems to be kind of common everywhere. So we spread it. But again, it wasn't exactly the way of Jesus. It had adopted the heresy of compromise. So he had the church in the palm of his hands, and he was using it not in the way of Jesus, but he was using it for his own gain. And I like that he literally has the church in his hand in this photo. It's, I don't know who painted that, but it's really brilliant. Then we have monks. So monks pop up all over the place, and they're like, hey, something's weird here. This is not the way of Jesus. So some of them are like, following Jesus, something isn't right. So they start isolating themselves and try to follow the way of Jesus. So we do have pockets of Jesus following along the way. And then, oh, Martin Luther, that's not him, right? There we go, that's the right one. So he also says something's not right. So he comes up with this huge list of things, and he thinks the Pope will really like it. You know, this is the things that isn't working with the church, and he nails it on the door of a church, and somehow it gets torn down and dispersed. And guess what? The Pope isn't actually happy at all. And because one of the things he said is there probably shouldn't be a Pope. So then we have people, you know, fighting and saying, this is Christianity, this isn't Christianity, this is, you know, all throughout history for another couple years, or a couple hundred years. And then we have in the Enlightenment, finally, government and church start to get torn apart, and it's crazy. We got lots of heads rolling, lots of churches burned down, especially in France, and they decide they don't need the church anymore. Why do we need Christianity when we have liberty and democracy and freedom and things like that? So the church stops being relevant. And this is the time we're in. Of course, at this time, the Mennonites are laughing because they knew this was happening for a couple hundred years already. They had already separated government and faith. So let's talk about Christianity for just a second here. Where it's at now. So basically, Western society does have Christian roots, and we see those values play out in our society, which is beautiful and is transforming things. We get to live in a place where things like murder is seen as wrong. Things that are values of Jesus are playing out, but it's not the same. Christianity made its bed with Rome, and we're left with this weird hybrid child. Some of the values have had positive, amazing positive impacts on Western society. But Christianity has come to mean something a little bit different from following Jesus. Christianity is a culture, and Jesus is a person we can know, a person we can be transformed by. So Satan's biggest ploy since the 4th century has to begin to conflate Christianity with following Jesus. And we can't let ourselves be duped by that. So we need to test the good values of our culture, or of Christianity even, whatever that means, against the teachings of Jesus. Historically, people were so sure of the monarchy, that it was from God, so sure of colonialism, yes, that this is from God, or imperialism, or war, or all these different things. What are we doing now that we consider, okay, this must be good. This must be the right thing because it feels right, because it looks like it's supposed to be present in our culture, but it's actually against the teachings of Jesus. It's actually wrong. If we are fitting into this culture, we have to ask that question. Are we really living the way of Jesus? This has been a massive journey for me throughout my life, and I'm still going through it, trying to separate, okay, the Christianity I grew up with who Jesus is. When I first moved here, actually, I was just talking to Dwayne about this the other day. I was so adamant that, you know, this Christian way was the right way, and that everyone else was wrong, and that I actually even alienated myself because of this, that somehow I confused following Jesus with Christianity, and I needed to fight for this team Christian. You know, all these arguments were coming this way, oh, Christians did this, Christians did that. It's like, no, I'm on this team. I need to fight for Christianity. But what I really needed to fight for was Jesus, and then I really got to know him. And in grade 11, I had a powerful experience with Jesus. And started to really live in his way, stopped living selfishly, stopped considering social class, and just started living out the values of Jesus. And I started to look different. I wasn't antagonistic anymore. I was trying to just live in relationship with God. And it was weird because people noticed. It didn't matter if I was on the right team anymore because I knew Jesus. So, here's some questions to consider as we talk about this last part here. Finding ways of living out Jesus in our culture when it's trying to tell us, no, you need to live by these values. So, here's some questions to think about. How do I spend my money? How do I spend my time? How do I do my work? Who do I associate with? Am I fitting into the culture in the way that I'm doing my life as a Christian, or am I following Jesus with these things? So, what I want to say is stay weird. So, do we really know the gospel? If we do, we're going to live it out, and it will evoke questions. If we're not getting questions about the way we're living, are we following Jesus? Because Jesus says some really weird stuff. I'm working through the book of Luke right now with some friends, and man, it is so challenging. And there's so many points where I'm like, this seems impossible. Like, I don't know how I can possibly live it out, and I'm going to need to do a lot of assessment of my life and a lot of praying, because I don't know if I can, but it's worth pursuing. And I know Jesus has brought me there in the past, and he will continue to transform me. So, how do we do this? Read the Gospels, great place to start. It raises a lot of questions. And if Bible reading isn't part of your regular routine, which is totally fine, just some tips. Attach it to an existing habit. That's the greatest way to ensure that your habit sticks. And do it at a regular time each day. That's the best tips I can give. Secondly, take notes, write things down so you can chew on them. This is like weird stuff that Jesus says, and it's going to take some time to really, at least for me, it takes time to think about them and chew on and figure out what actually is going on here. Thirdly, discuss with friends. God has a beautiful way of working through our friends and teaching us about him through the relationships we have. Fourthly, find ways of living it out in small ways. Don't try to tackle the whole world at once. Persevere and allow Jesus to knock down this life that we've built for ourselves. Lastly, praying every step of the way is essential. It may require sacrifice, and it might raise some eyebrows, but it's worth it to change your life, to change the world, and provoke questions. Jesus says, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you'll find it. So where are things now in my life? Well, the biggest need we see in our community, in BU, and even in the music school, is a lack of community, actually. People are isolated, people are lonely, they don't know how to connect. So me and my friends, we're trying to connect with these people because we know Jesus invites us to bring everyone into this community, to have a relationship with people who are isolated. So some people stay with us, some people, you know, don't stay with us, they still want to isolate themselves. So there's mixed success. Sometimes we have conversations about Jesus, sometimes deep conversations about life. Sometimes people ask us why we're friends with them or why we're doing what we're doing.